Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy whose paper towels are dry clean only. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Sunday night edition, week number two of Big Brother 23. An exciting night, which saw Frenchie go on the block. Who could have seen this coming so quickly to go from the top to the bottom at the Big Brother house? We will talk about tonight with another great panel. Of course, back with us after another exciting weekend on the live feeds, it's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm out, Rob.
No! No! Come back! Again? Twice today? Where's Jacob Jones to get in here? Taryn, come back.
Don't give me the keys. I don't want them either.
That's it. He's gone.
We need you, Taryn.
He's gone.
Get back here.
He's gone.
I've never quit anything a day in my life. I'm never quitting.
Yes, if you're listening to audio, yes, Taryn walked off the podcast.
Feels very back. Dramatic.
I feel like, you know, I feel like hopefully they got it, right?
Hopefully, yeah. Check out the video.
Yeah, if not, send your complaints to at It's Melissa with three A's.
Okay. Let's say hello. Very excited to be back talking some Big Brother with this woman. It's Lavina Patel. Lavina, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm back from my hiatus, and I cannot be happier that my first episode back is the Tiffany episode, the Tiffany show. So I'm thrilled to talk about the season. I'm loving the season so far.
Yeah,
so
I feel like a Big Brother legend was born tonight.
For sure. I mean, I knew this was coming even before this episode, like obviously on the live feeds. She's such a joy to have on the live feeds. And now that she has her moment on the episode, I'm super excited. Okay. Can't wait to bring it down.
All right. We'll talk about it all. And of course, back with us to talk about everything in Big Brother 23, it's AJ Norris. AJ, how are you?
I'm doing so great, Rob. I'm glad to be back. As someone who has been to a few middle school art galleries, I can say I prefer to be here.
Yes. Okay. Yes. That I didn't know you were an art aficionado like Brent.
Oh, 100%. The Picassos, the Scaramucci. Scaramucci.
Would you say that you're highly educated, AJ?
Highly educated. Don't have a degree, but highly educated.
Okay. All right. So we'll have some fun talking about tonight's Big Brother Sunday night edition. We'll take your questions. You can send them in anytime during the episode, anytime you watch. robiswebsite.com/BB questions. Don't forget on Monday, The Slop is coming back. Kirsten McKinnis is going to join me to talk about all of the nonsense in the world of Big Brother. That's in our Patreon podcast feed. You can send us sloppy links anytime also at robiswebsite.com/getsloppy. Send in your sloppiest links from Big Brother, whether it's from the Big Brother 23 live feeds, the alumni on Twitter, whatever is the sloppiest things that we would never talk about in the regular podcast. Send it in for the slop. Okay. Yeah, this was a big night. We had really like the emergence of Tiffany, who's like, you can see it tonight, became like a darling of the editors. I think we're going to get a lot of Tiffany diary rooms over the course of the season. We had the wild card competition and really just the complete flame out of Frenchie. I guess we should start with the beginning with really, Taryn, we opened the episode with a lot of talk about the Hinkie votes, which really didn't prove to be that big of a part of the episode, the hunt for the Hinkie votes ultimately.
Yes. It was sort of the start of Frenchie's game unraveling. The fact that he admits to knowing who the two votes were, but won't say who they were. It implies that this was Frenchie's plan that he put in motion and that he used members of the Alliance to do this. And that now, like who did this and why is he doing it? He did this specifically to frame Derek X, but why two votes? Is he also trying to frame Kyland? Like what's going on here and why isn't he telling us about it? That, you know, by itself was starting to be like, you know, people were starting to be like, what is happening with Frenchie? And then this scene with Tiffany, we did not get on the live feeds, but it was hilarious.
Yeah. So first we got Frenchie talking about why she was going to make the vote for Frenchie. And so it was Frenchie talking with Brent and Whitney. Is that right?
Yeah, I think in the
gym.
Like gym?
Yeah. In the gym area. And, you know, classic Frenchie where he's just like being a blowhard, talking about how he knows who the two votes are. He's never going to say anything. Lavina, this was wild that Tiffany sort of like plays like a game of chicken with Frenchie about she's like demanding that he reveal what he knows when she was the person who cast one of the votes. I feel like that takes a lot of audacity to attempt something like that.
I mean, it's a choice by Frenchie to kind of essentially brag in front of people to say, well, I know who the two votes are. And one of those people is in the room with him. And it's just all I can say with almost everything that Frenchie's done in this game is it's a choice. It's not a good choice, but it's a choice. So obviously it's going to set Tiffany off. I don't know how any sane person wouldn't think that it would, because again, they talked about casting the hanky vote. So of course, she's going to get upset that he's even bringing it up, and it could potentially, you never know with this guy, and she's perfectly aware of how Frenchie functions, that he could easily just let it slip to somebody else when she's not in the room. If she's not in the room another time, he could be saying, yeah, it was Tiffany, you know, kind of something like that. So a choice.
Yeah. AJ, I just love that she was like calling him out on it in front of everybody and not like in private, like in the next conversation.
Like, he don't know how to keep his mouth shut. Like, it was very simple. She said, you got one job. I'm giving you one job to do, and that is to shut up. Shut up and stay away forever. And Frenchie just like a child, like a schoolboy, like, oh, I got a secret, but listen, you don't know it, but I know it, and I could tell you, and y'all are all pressed about it. But I ain't going to say a thing. And, like, why would you say that when Tiffany is right here? She was like, listen, kid, stop trying to play with fire. You're playing with fire, and I'm over the fire. Like, this is not how we're doing things. So she was like, I feel like she was pushing him, because even if he did, was like, fine, bump it. It was Tiffany. Like, how are they going to bleep that? They're just going to be like, oh, she was pushing him, and then, oh, he just got frustrated and just said her name out of anger and stuff like that. So I like what Tiffany did, because also I would also be at my wit's end with Mr. French. But but I don't have any issues with it. I bring so much joy to my heart to see Tiffany, like, you know, egg someone on, be like, I know your secret. And if
it was
me,
great.
It was amazing. Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Taryn, I hazard to put you in the position of trying to explain what Frenchie is thinking, but is this just Frenchie that he has no impulse control over, that if he knows something, he can't help but tell people that he knows something? Or was he trying to then sort of extort Tiffany that he knew that he was going to tell people about the secret?
I don't think he was trying to extort Tiffany. I think that he, you know, Brent and Whitney, two people that he admires in a way, right? And wants to be their hero, right? They were confused. They were lost little lambs looking for an answer. And he had that answer. And he needed not to tell them the answer, but just to let them know that he did in fact have it. You know, you poor confused souls don't know. Listen, be comforted, for I know. And I can't tell you. It is not meant for your minds, but it's meant for mine, and I have it. So don't you worry.
But he also thought he was doing something there. Like, he was like, listen, I'm an honest person. I know who did it, but as an honest, loyal guy.
He'll never get it out of me. I'll never tell anybody. I'll take it to my grave. Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah. I'll leave this house with dignity, and I'll never tell anybody what's gone. Do we know also that I presume he knows that Derek F. was the other vote. Is that correct?
He does. And I don't know exactly how. I assume it's because when Derek F., a.k.a. Big D, was going around asking various people if he should do it, and everyone was telling him no, that he eventually got around to Frenchie, who told him yes. Mm-hmm. And that's why he knew that was one of the votes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I wanted to get into this conversation. So Kylan and Xavier have a conversation, which was very, very funny, that they're in the bathroom. Kylan is very concerned that they're going to be spotted together. And he keeps like telling Xavier to get closer. And Xavier eventually has to pretend that he's ironing some paper towels for some reason, because that's a good cover. And they're talking about, well, one of the things they talk about is the votes. And I thought this was really interesting that Kylan does suspect that Tiffany was one of the two votes. Taryn, has this come up at all?
Not really. I mean, so Kylan knows how smart Tiffany is. And, you know, after he's had a few conversations with her as the HOH, and after one of those conversations, she left the room and he was like, please let that woman not be an actress, because I would die. Mm. I think that he is a little bit scared of her.
Yeah.
And I think rightfully so. But nothing has really come of this. No.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say that the vibe that I get whenever those two have a conversation on the live feeds is that he's, I mean, Taryn, you hit the nail on the head, like, scared of her and really listening to every single word she's saying with a lot of thought behind it. So there's something going on there, and I'm hoping that it doesn't blow up in Tiffany's face. So I don't know. She is an actress, though.
Like, when it comes to Tiffany, like, she comes across like, oh, I know what I'm talking about. You might be confused, but don't worry, baby. I got this. I know what's happening. And like, if you're trying to win $1 million, that person got to be terrifying. But as long as that person's on your side, you're good, baby.
$750,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta make sure we say it the catchier way.
Oh, super catchy. Huh?
Yeah. Very catchy. Xavier sends Kylan off to finally use the restroom.
Go pee with your HOH key.
Go pee with your HOH key. Very catchy.
How do you do that?
Does that mean that he should pee with the HOH key, like, as company? Like, go pee with your key, or do you need to use the key to get to where you pee? Or are you somehow peeing via the HOH key? I just feel like he should have been more specific.
Peeing via the HOH key?
Yeah. You know, with it. I don't know how that would work. I'm not the one that said it. He's the one that said it.
Whilst holding the key is what you're trying to say? Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one of the options.
I don't want to go into this.
Skip I'm sorry. Over this boy.
Like, ignore him.
It wasn't
completely.
My idea.
Okay. Let's continue talking about Kylan and Tiffany, because they have a conversation, and we see Tiffany, AJ, telling Kylan, you got to be careful with Frenchie. Yeah, be careful with Frenchie. Don't turn your HOH into another Frenchie HOH.
And you see how hectic and how much of a headache the last Frenchie HOH reign was. Like, people were up all hours of the night. He says he's going to do one thing, but then he says he's going to do another thing to another person. He got everybody like running around so confused. It's not a good look. And now that he's out of power, people are like, oh, that wasn't a good look. Mm-hmm. So Tiffany's just being like, son, you don't want to be another Frenchie. You got to keep it calm, cool. Make sure you stay the course, do what's logical in your head and what's logical for my game. And I also think it was like her planting seeds like, oh, Frenchie, don't trust this man. You need to be careful. This man is doing some shady stuff you don't know about. Because if you're going to grow a plant, you have to have a seed first.
Seeds, baby. Of course.
Of course. Yeah,
and this was one of those conversations that was like very, very that she's, I didn't want her to push him too hard because obviously he's already kind of seeing things going on with Tiffany saying she might, because, you know, I think that she's playing a great game, but sometimes she gets a little sloppy, just a little bit. So I'm hoping, like I said, that Kylan's not the one to clock that. But at the same time, I mean, they're on the same team. So regardless, we'll see what happens.
I think it's fine what she did, especially because Kylan is the type of person to just start thinking through things. Like once his mind starts going, he has to think through all the possibilities. So her just putting this out there, he's going to like his mind's going to run with it. Like he might do something with it. He might not do something with it. But she's no, he's going to think all through his head, like all the different scenarios, like, oh, what was she talking about? It, could I trust Frenchie at the end of the day? Where she was more forceful, I don't know if he would be as receptive.
Yeah, Taryn, we saw so much great stuff from Tiffany. Everybody is super excited and rightfully so. But do you think that there's any possibility, potentially, like if with a vacuum of Frenchie in the house, potentially after this week, like do you think that there is a likelihood that Tiffany could get clocked? I mean, it's only week two. Seems like she has a lot going on.
That is true. And the thing about it too is that she has a lot going on without ever having really held any power in the game yet. Which is something that, that most modern players have been relatively incapable of, in recent times. So, it is definitely going to be interesting watching her play, especially if she continues to not win competitions. But I do think she's perfectly capable of winning competitions. But she's basically using Kylan's power as her own power to reshape the house in the way that she wants to. And that is definitely, you know, she's playing with fire here. I think that the thing about it is that she needs to play with fire in a house like this where everyone is playing a risky game. Everyone is playing for the win here. And if you're not at that level, then you're going to be left behind. And I think that, yes, it could backfire. Yes, she could get caught. Yes, everything could come crashing down as early as next week. But right now, she's the one doing it the best. And she has the best chance, I think, of getting far.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. I do think that, you know, people with like Kylan who are kind of side-eyeing her and thinking this woman's pretty strong. She's really, she's kind of like mind-warping me or something like that. But I do think that she's very well insulated and well covered on in a lot of parts of the house. I don't think anyone is going to win HOH next week and say, okay, well, I'm going to throw Tiffany on the block, or maybe we should backdoor Tiffany. I really don't think that that's going to happen, at least anytime soon. Again, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. It could all blow up, like Taryn was saying. But, you know, for right now, I think that she's pretty well insulated and no one's coming for her.
Yes. And Tiffany, I believe, is really well good at this game. She has not won HOH yet, but people can tell like how smart, how good, well, knowledge she is. Like Kylan's scared a little bit of her. Derek is like, oh, she's teaching me so much about this game. So Tiffany's not like hiding it, comma, but in the Big Brother, you need to like, as many people say nowadays, you have to win a lot of competitions to get respect at the end of the game. And if you're not doing that, you better be going at 120 miles per hour. And Tiffany is going 120 miles per hour. And she obviously took some driving classes because she is steady on that road right now. Like if she starts to swerve, then she might be in danger. But right now she's doing really good.
Okay. We saw a flashback of, we were wondering, okay, what did Travis do? What was the last minute pitch that he did to try to get Frenchie out of the game? AJ, we saw a little bit of a flashback to Travis pulling Kylan aside. Frenchie, he makes promises, but these promises are, not worth the paper they're written on.
Who would have thought that his promises meant nothing? Huh? He promised Travis safety. He promised the women safety. He promised the people of color safety. He promised Brent safety. Who did he not, besides Christian, who did he not promise safety? Of course he's a liar. Like, everything he's done says, hey, I lie on a daily. Like, listen, this is not new information that Travis is throwing out here, but, you know, do your thing, Travis.
I feel like this could have been pulled straight out of a parody skit of reality television.
Yes.
Where it's like, well, yesterday I found out some big information that I now have to take into account when it comes to Frenchie. And then they do an actual flashback, pretty rare in Big Brother, to do a flashback. Yeah, Frenchie's a liar. Now what do I do? Now I know that he's a liar. Like, it was so ridiculous. And I think that they just picked the wrong clip here, or they pulled the wrong clip here. Maybe they didn't have Travis saying the specific information to Kyland. I do believe, you know, we talked to Travis. I think that the information that he did give was like that he promised him safety. We didn't really see that in the flashback. We just saw him saying, yeah, this guy doesn't stick to his word. But even the promised safety stuff was pretty weak. But I guess the edit only viewers wouldn't necessarily know that. But man, it was really funny to watch. We're expecting some groundbreaking information. So yeah, this guy, can't trust him.
They did show him promising Travis on the Thursday episode.
Yes, they showed us, yes. But they didn't show Travis telling Kylan.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Well, I was expecting, so when he had his eviction interview with Julie, he was like, yeah, I blew up Frenchie's game. So I'm like, okay, obviously feeds were down. I can't wait to see what happens on the Sunday episode. So I'm sitting here like super pumped. I've got my snacks. I'm ready. I'm like, he's going to blow up. But then I kind of remember like, we know who Travis is. Personality, really not all there. But you know what? Maybe he got really pissed off and let it all loose.
Listen, Travis blowing things up is like doing a firecracker. That's his version of blowing things up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So I expected much more, but that's on me, I guess.
Lavina, what's the best snack for watching somebody try to blow up the house?
Well, I'll tell you my drink because I didn't finish it yet. I have a San Pellegrino drink.
Okay.
And then I had, what was I eating? I had sour cream and onion Lay's chips.
Okay.
Any kind of Lay's chips.
All right. It's a good pairing. If you missed it on Friday, Tyron and I had the chance to talk to Travis. So we had our exit interview, which is up on robhasawebsite.com, which was very fun to get to talk to Travis, Tyron.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I could talk to Travis about anything and he'd make it interesting.
Yeah, maybe that could be a segment that we could do. Sometime in the season, I don't really care what he has to say about Big Brother, but maybe there might be some other topics that he might have interesting stuff to say.
Well, we could still, you know, with regards to Big Brother, at least ask him, is this person a liar? It'd be very useful information.
Sure. All right. So Kylan gets his HOH letter, gets a letter from his mom. Nice letter. Strong letter from mom.
Yeah. But well read.
Read. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say, I love that our main character of the evening, Tiffany, got to read the letter. I was like, more Tiffany. Love this.
Yes. Okay. And well,
that's hilarious that this was like, oh, this heartfelt thing for Travis for his mom. This was just a segue to show how awesome Tiffany is.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's where we're going, AJ, because we go to Tiffany and she's crying with Asa, and we get like the music, like the sad music cue that they play when all right, let's hear what your other house guest had to say to you. I guess they only have one sad music cue in all of Big Brother. And so we go to that and she's in the diary room talking about herself and how he's states away, which I've never heard that term to use to describe the geography, but he's states away from her right now. And then she broke and she's like, what? I'm not really sad. Forget it.
Yes. This is great. It's a great segment. It's hilarious. It's something that we did see on the feeds. I think it makes for a great segment. The efficacy of it, I'm not like as sold on. If I see somebody crying into somebody else's arms, that's going to make me think they're closer than just like a normal conversation,
mm-hmm.
but still, it's really fun. And I think it made for a great segment.
For sure. Yeah, it's funny because I knew that had happened, but she was so good. And Azza, we got to say Azza was really good at this too. They got me for like a split second. I was like, and the music, you know, the whole editing thing. I was like, why is she so upset? I don't want to see this woman upset. And then all of a sudden I realized, wait a second, this was on the feeds. I knew this was going to happen, but she freaking got me. She freaking, what's the word? She just got me.
Bamboozled.
Bamboozled.
Yes. Yes. Like Brent was. All right. So wild card competition is coming up. Frenchie wants to go in. Not just that, he's going to win it. Put him in. He's feeling it.
Nothing's going to stop him.
Nothing's going to stop Frenchie.
Manifest that ish.
He's going to manifest it. The aces want to leave it to chance. This group cannot come to a consensus.
I mean, which is very much an example of just who they are as a team. They're a very divided team. They don't really get along that well. And so it's not surprising that they can't come to a conclusion.
Yeah. And then for Sarah Beth, she calls her shot here. She wants to go into the competition. This was a big night for Sarah Beth.
Yeah. Wild card blocker.
She's the wild card blocker. Yeah, Taryn, why was she so confident?
I mean, confident. I mean, I think something that I liked that she said in the diary room was that she wanted to win, not only to stop other people from winning. Certainly that was her primary goal, but also to prove her value to potential alliance members, to the people that she is working with. And I love that from her. Mm-hmm. I feel like, especially from Sarah Beth, who was one of the people in the preseason that was saying, like, I would throw competitions. I want to be a floater, you know, for a long time. I don't know if that just like, you know, if she still feels that way and she just didn't like, she's still willing to do something like this, or if her opinion has changed having come into the house based on what she's seeing. But that's very much the meta of the current strategy of Big Brother, which is you do need to win competitions and prove your value to your allies. And winning competitions doesn't always put a target on your back as much as just not being valuable enough to somebody's game to be worth protecting. And so I do like this, not only because she's helping, you know, seal Frenchie's fate here to a degree, but also because she is proving to people, hey, I'm valuable in this game, and I'm somebody who, if I do make it to the end, like, I've been playing this game, and I've been holding power.
Okay. I also wonder how much they knew that each week there would be like a different like roulette chance thing, whatever. Who cares? Because last week we saw Christian win it, and he won safety and gave it to Xavier, which made him closer. If she was thinking in the mindset of, oh, if something happens to me, my team, who I'm not that close with, this is a bond that can make them feel closer to me, put me in a better position within my group.
So she's going to play. Ultimately, it's going to be Brent that gets drawn for the aces. Let's get to Frenchie and Kylan, because this is where things start to really unravel. Frenchie talks to Kylan, and Lavina, Frenchie's spidey senses are tingling. Something feels off.
Yeah, and I guess you could say that this is one of the few things that he actually got right in his entire time in the Big Brother house so far. But I obviously his reaction is, I didn't realize, obviously we didn't have feeds for this, but I didn't realize this is the moment that set him off to do the whole I'm out thing. And I didn't even realize that he did it not once, but twice in front of essentially the entire house at that point. I thought it was just the way that it was described on the live feeds was, oh, Whitney said that he did this in front of maybe Hannah and a couple of other people, but it was literally the entire house. And I could not believe my eyes.
Yeah, Taryn, do we have any more background on this? You know, we see Frenchie talk to Kylan and
red flag, red flag, red flag.
And he just basically like imploded after that.
Yeah, this was I do believe that this was Kylan's. I don't think Kylan's intention was to make Frenchie explode, but I think Kylan's intention was to be like, hey, Frenchie, put me on the block. I have an excuse to put Frenchie on the block. And then I can maybe slowly over the course of the week, turn the slaughterhouse against him and let this be a move that everybody can be okay with. And it's a nice, easy play. So, you know, Kylan's kind of sitting there with a shovel, you know, ready to dig a grave for Frenchie slowly over the course of the week. And Frenchie walks up and he's like, hey, what's with the shove? Fine. And he just grabs the shovel and starts digging it himself. If you want to do this work, I'm cool with it. Because Frenchie just completely loses it. And what he's going to do is just immediately start saying, go doing his Frenchie thing. And what he tells people is that I was told five people came to tell. I got told by five different people that that half of the slaughterhouse was turning against me. Half of them. And what he means by I was told by five people is that he had that conversation with Kylan and saw red flags.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just like, I don't know what he thought the strategy here was, or if he genuinely just thought like, everyone is against me now. Kylan must be targeting me. He must be supported. And so screw all of you. He really, really helped Kylan with how he reacted.
I really do think that it was really just a sudden reaction. It's one of those things that, you know, all of us do, that sometimes we have reactions that we might regret. Granted, I don't know if he regrets that. I don't know what's going on in Frenchie's mind, but I don't think any of us do. But I think it was kind of like a tunnel vision thing where he was like, I'm seeing red. I'm out of here. I need to like blow off some steam. I don't care who's hearing it. And it was really just a tunnel vision thing, in my opinion, because that's how crazy it looked to me.
Yeah. Are we sure Frenchie is okay? That
he's not.
That we like have given like a lot of flowers to the casting department for putting together this Big Brother 23 cast. But like, is Frenchie okay? Like, should he be out there?
I feel like we need a psychologist on the podcast to answer that question. I mean, I think he has a complicated relationship with the truth.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And if it would be easier to process this man if like he was in the diary room saying like, hey, I'm going to be the biggest daggone villain this show's ever seen. I'm going to tell people what they want to hear, but in reality, I'm doing my game. Like if he was like a Russell Hantz, like, okay, yeah, okay, this makes a little bit more sense. But AJ, that he's like eternally like the hero and the martyr, and he's the good guy in the story.
He's the main character of this comic book that he written in his head.
He's the hero.
Yes, he is the hero. He says, oh no, this is my third issue and my friends have turned against me. There's a bad person that has come in and brainwashed my friend Kylan, who I was so loyal to, who I trusted, who was my number one, and he turned against me. Like, I think Frenchie is like irrational. Mm-hmm. He is emotional. Love to watch that. Hate to play with that. Mm-hmm. So I'm here for it. I'm happy that it that he blew up like that. Like, he's hurting himself to the point where it's like he's done enough damage to himself. Is he really like that big of an issue right now? Like, there are some other people that will like take a shot at Kylan that is not Frenchie right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the issue if Kylan's like, but Frenchie, I got you. I will save you at this moment. As Kylan's like, I'm out. They've turned against me. There are snakes with heads and whatnot. Like, Kylan be like, I will be your savior. I will be your protector. I don't think that would be a good move for Kylan. Mm-hmm. Like, why not?
I really do think that this is mainly a struggle. We've seen this from the beginning. I think that it's really a struggle for him to obviously play this game but he's also not just playing for himself, because as we've seen, he's playing a lot up for the live feeds, not just the live feeds. He's playing up for the edit. He's really aware of that. He's overly aware of the cameras, obviously, but he's also very reactionary, as we can see. So I can't say, is he okay and should he be there? Because obviously none of us are psychologists, but yeah. I do think that it's really just the struggle between those things. It's the, he's overly aware of the cameras. He's overly aware of, you know, how Twitter and Big Brother, Twitter, Reddit, social media can be, and what are they saying about me?
You don't want to know, Frenchie.
Yeah, I would stay in there, try to stay in there as much as you can, yeah. for as long as you can. Don't see the stuff. But I just think it's a struggle between all of those things.
I know they have a psychologist, like, and I know they do like check-ins like halfway through the season to make sure everyone's good. But they should also do one like at the beginning, like 1 or 2 weeks in, as during the readjustment period, make sure like everyone's good, everyone's sound, everyone's stable. Like, I don't know if they do that or not, but if they don't, y'all should.
Yeah.
Help the boy out.
Call it the Frenchie rule. Just give me a check in. See how it's going. As to why Kylan would consider keeping him around, I just think that Frenchie has made himself radioactive to the point where that yeah. even if you think like, ooh, this is a good game move, everybody will think you are the shadiest person around if you don't get rid of Frenchie at this point, because that he's just like going back to Taryn's grave. It's like 60 feet deep at this point. He comes downstairs. Goes to Brent first. I'm out of the slaughterhouse. That's it.
F the slaughterhouse.
Yes.
F the slaughterhouse.
F the slaughterhouse. Yeah. Lavina, Brent says that if this happened on the airline, that he would have security escort him off the tarmac.
I'm so sorry, but I know for a fact that he wasn't, you know, because you know how in the DRs these days, they feed them some lines. Excuse me. I don't think that he was fed that line, because yeah. just the way that he said it's so dry. This dude's DRs crack me up, and I don't care who knows. Like, this guy's cracking me up because he's not even intending to be. I don't even think he's intending to be funny. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those dry humor things. Freaking crack me up.
Yeah. We'll have to ask T-Bird if this would be the proper protocol for a Frenchie on a flight, and we'll find out the real answer.
I think if Frenchie went onto a flight and he said, F this flight, I'm out. Yeah, he'd probably be escorted out, right?
When you put it like that.
I don't want to sit next to that person at all. There's no AirPods going in.
I saw how the pilot looked at me. Five different people have told me that half this plane is turning against me.
Sir,
I gotta get out of here.
Sir, we're gonna need you to settle down. We're gonna need you to settle down a little bit, sir.
No, I'm out.
Sir, please. Please.
Oh my God.
I'm winning a free ticket. You're not gonna stop me.
It's like mid-air and none of us can do anything about it. Like, I'm just the anxiety. Oh my God.
Wow. He goes to Whitney that he tells her that he's out of the slaughterhouse
in front of multiple non-slaughterhouse yeah. members. Yeah.
Yeah. He's referred to AJ multiple times by Brent and Whitney, amongst others, as a loose cannon.
Huh. Yeah. I wonder what will make him think that. Probably the understatement of the year. Like, a man who will make something up on the spot to target someone else. Yeah, they're sort of loose and like mm-hmm. a cannon as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
But, yeah.
We see Frenchie and Brent. He says, if I don't get this, I'm going to go home. He wants Brent to throw the wild card competition to him. Nobody wants to throw the wild card competition to Frenchie.
Yeah, I think Brent makes a good point where, like, I don't think Brent really cared to win all that much. Like, prior to this conversation, he was like, I didn't really want to play. I think he probably would have still tried. He wouldn't have thrown it, but I don't think he was like, I desperately need this. But when Frenchie is like, I need if you didn't win, he's like, well, now I want to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, what's kind of weird for me, granted, I understand this is an edited up conversation. He didn't outwardly say, at least on the edit, throw this. It was just like a, you got to do this for me. Like, if I was in Brent's shoes, I'd be like, granted, he is doing this, but I would be even more like, I'm stepping away from you, dude. Like, this is week 2. I owe you nothing. You're going off your rocker. Like, that's just a, I wouldn't even try. Kind of like how Whitney later on in a DR, I believe, says, I don't want to be friends with him. I don't want to talk to him right now. That's what I would have been like if I was Brent, because that's just insane.
I know I'm not the wifey guy. That's Taryn. But I feel like the show made it seem like Brent like jumped ship a lot sooner than I thought he actually did in real life.
Yeah. Yeah, I you know, this is something that I've definitely noticed is that, I mean, Brent is very present in this episode when, I mean, he wasn't really that present in most of the goings on this week. And in the previous week as well, he was very like, he got the platinum level treatment. He purchased that package when he signed up for the show, where, yeah, you know, everything bad that happened last week was on Frenchie, and Brent was the hero sticking up for Derek X and trying to get Derek X to be safe that week. And this week they are sort of again kind of they like Brent is what I'm saying, and until he actually has like a full on downfall, is going to get evicted, I have a feeling they're going to try and keep a little bit of a as Travis might say, golden edit for him.
Yeah. Taryn, let me ask you something from the chat, which can always be dangerous, but that I saw some discussion in the chat about, did Frenchie quit smoking to come on the show?
I'm not 100% sure. I know he is a smoker, and I haven't noticed him smoking, so it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know if he's got... But, something else going on.
Is that a Big Brother rule change? I mean, famously, people have smoked in the Big Brother house since the start.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, I would say that their backyard time has been significantly decreased in terms of, I think, you know, your ability to smoke. I'm seeing some people in the chat say he's got some patches. So that that may be what's happening there. But yeah, I mean, like I said,
Puya is saying Derek F smoke. So I don't know if that's necessary. Cause I mean, we've definitely like explored this on reality TV, whether it's a Shane Powers, I'm watching Zane in Survivor Philippines, come into the game, as a smoker. So that can, you know, wreak havoc with somebody.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I know that at one point in his life, he was a smoker. I don't know if he is currently still a smoker or if he quit recently or if he quit prior to that, but it's not something that he's not, you know, walking around the house like, I could really use a smoke. Like, you know, it's so I take that for what you will.
Okay. All right. So let's get into then the wild card competition. We had some sort of an art gallery. I think the thing that I thought was most interesting about this was that I believe for the first time in any of these sort of safety suite or competitions like this, the whole house got to watch. AJ, that was an interesting wrinkle.
I like that they got to watch. They got to see, who's really threatening, who's like in these like mental type competitions, who should I be looking out for, and who's like, a slouch. I liked how Xavier was like, yo, if Sarah Beth gets this point, I'm going to jump out of my seat. And then he like slowly stands up.
Yeah. I feel like there were people that were more enthusiastic than he was in response to her win.
I specifically watched him because I was like, all right, let's see it. Like, leap up. Come on.
But they did something in the veto. They were all watching from the balcony as well. This seems to be a new thing that they're doing, where the rest of the house is getting to watch the competitions. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I don't mind it. It definitely can potentially change some things up, but for the most part, I think it's fine. It was definitely jarring to see them watch it on a screen and be like an audience like we are. I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah. Taryn, why do you think they did it?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's definitely an intentional change to have the audience, to have them as an audience. I personally feel like the competitions have been stale for a while. I thought this one was particularly stale with the diary room sessions Just very blatantly scripted with the puns. They barely sounded like themselves, and it took a really long time. But it was kind of fun to get some reactions from the rest of the house guests watching along. That was the best part of the competition. So whatever it is that prompted them to do this, I think it has added a nice little element to it that is better than what they normally would give us.
I wonder if the team element is also part of it. There's potential safety for the teams. True. You know, watch and root your team on. Lavina, do you think the teams are working so far? It's been a fun season, but my premise is that if I had to right now, I don't think I could tell you who's on all the teams. And I don't really think it's impacted too many things so far.
I literally still don't know who the teams are to the second, actually. I do think that the teams themselves existing is slightly better than the actual... what do they call it? The when they have to, if they win the competition, they have to gamble or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that one's more of a flop than the actual teams are.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people are necessarily actively loyal to their teams, but it has at least stopped the, you know, groupthink of the, I mean, granted, we are like getting that some of the group thing of the house this week, but that's a very special circumstance, obviously. But I do think that the teams themselves are a little bit better than the actual like, gambling thing. But yeah.
I think the teams are, whether you like them or not, I think they are playing a big role actually in this season. I think you are seeing people who are overly loyal to their team, like Kylan being like, Brittany, you are so loyal to your team, you will win the competition, take them down. You see people like the Jokers, I think mainly the Jokers being like, oh, this is my teammate, I gotta rock with my teammate and stuff like that. So I think it is playing a factor, and other people in the house are also more loyal to their team or not. And I think the people that are having success, like you saw in BB Can 9, are people who are like, I have a team, but let me find people outside of my team to work with as well. So I think it plays a wrinkle into the game. I won't want to see this every season, but this season I think it's putting a good wrinkle into the game. Especially people are like, oh, I want to win this competition, but if I win this HOH, then this person's safe. So I think it's adding some fun elements.
I do just want to say, I know you guys are struggling with the teams. Just so you know, I do know who the teams are. They've asked me to remain anonymous. So, but just I do, just in case you need.
Why would you say that you know them if you're not going to say? If you know them, just say it.
I'm just, you know, I have integrity, so I'm going to go down with this podcast ship. You know, not revealing my sources, but I do know who the teams are. I agree with AJ. The teams are making a big impact on the game, especially because of, you know, the aces, the kings really bonded in the have-not room together, because have-nots often tend to bond because they're separate from the rest of the house, especially at night when people are talking and bonding a lot. But in addition to that, they're also a team, and that has, just that word has bonded them a bit more as well. Now the queens are bonding even more because of the fact that they lost a member, mm-hmm. and now they're in power and they're safe together and they're working together. You know, the Jokers were, you know, a loose team. They, you know, there's an expectation that you're working with your team. And because of that, it has influenced some of the bonds that people have made. I think, to your point, Rob, they have had a lot of trouble establishing that in the show, in the edited show, translating the nuances of that to the actual edit. But I think they're having a lot of trouble translating a lot of things to the edit right now, because they have so much to do. give to do that they're having trouble with it all.
I have no doubt there's a ton of subtle ways that it has influenced the way that the game is shaping up. And there's probably like all sorts of credit that the, you know, success of the season is owed to the teams. I'm just saying that in terms of like what we're seeing on the show, like it's very hard to follow what's going on with the four teams. But I'm definitely not mad at it. Let's go through the competition real quick. Did Frenchie's hat with the pink stains on it, did that spoil that Frenchie was going to get a point here?
I guess, yeah, theoretically it spoils that he gets at least 1 point, right? Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, until you knew the rules, you might have thought, oh, he got out because he got, you know, sprayed with something.
Yeah, usually, you in Big Brother, when you get something exploded on you, it's usually a bad thing.
Yeah, I didn't like this new version of this competition. This is one of the more fun things, and they definitely had overused the sort of like, I was looking for the right one and then... but it was still a fun competition. I like it when it explodes on them when they lose. That's fun.
Yeah.
Standing there like, oh yay, I got a point. Oh.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like weird.
You don't like paint being thrown on you? I love paint being thrown on me.
It also took way too long. There's three. Yeah. It was a 3-point quiz. You only needed 3 points, and it took forever because they just stand there and wait to the thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the thing, too, is I knew going into the Sunday episode, obviously, we have a competition on the Sunday episodes now, which takes away airtime for, you know, takes away time for conversations and for game talk. And so I was getting frustrated watching how slow paced this was with the, you know, extra DRs with the fed lines, like mm-hmm. Sarah Beth was saying something like, I'm pretty in pink. I'm like, mm-hmm. You would never say that. SP would never say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most people wouldn't say that.
She doesn't know that movie that's older than she is.
Yeah. I thought of that movie. But besides that, I do think that it just ends up taking away more time, and I wish it would just be quicker because I would rather see more game time.
Yeah. No, and Lavina, as you were saying before, Brent really going for it with these diary rooms when he's talking about like, oh, rubber duck. I haven't seen one of those since I sailed the seven seas in my bathtub from when I was 7 years old. And we're like, what are you talking about?
I still laugh. Like, honestly, it's just when it's the person delivering the line, like, it just got me. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where someone says a string of words and you're like, this makes no sense, but I'm gonna laugh anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was laughing by myself in my bedroom.
Frenchie, when he got his point, said,
this reminds me of the time we used liquid fertilizer on the farm and boom, splattered all over me.
Why? What happened?
What's the situation? Like,
he skipped a step there.
He yada yada.
He's telling the story. He's like, yeah, so we got this liquid fertilizer, and then boom, got all over me.
Listen, his dealer was shady. It had like a bomb inside of it. And then all, boom.
Also, that Frenchie, like, I don't know how much resume of his we're going to get, but he's one of the all-time worst diary room yellers. Listen to this guy.
This reminds me of the time we used liquid fertilizer on the farm and boom, splattered all over me.
He was screaming.
And I'm not saying that he's Raven Walton, but does his accent sound way more pronounced in the DRs? Like, he's doing it on purpose? To me, it does.
Wait, Lavina, what are you talking about? Are you saying that in the diary room that I'm like a $3 chicken at the farmer's market on a Sunday afternoon?
A $3 chicken, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's exactly what he sounds like. And he's way more quiet. This dude, like, you can barely hear him on the live feeds when he's talking because he's damn near whispering. But that's not what he sounds like.
It's like in the first diary room, it was like so quiet. It was like, hey, can you turn it up? And then they broke the knob turning it up. And I was like, oh no, made a mistake there.
Yeah. Also, can you give us more like rural Mad Libs? Also, could you give us louder and like more random, like farmy things?
Yeah, they're like, oh, this one's got ducks. Surely you've got ducks. Some great ducks.
I've seen
stories.
Ducks every single day, and I've seen them, and they're quack quacking all the way down to the school.
Do you have the clip of him talking about the ducks? Because that was complete nonsense.
All of it's complete nonsense, Taryn.
Yeah.
I've got some ducks in my farm, and when I do the ducks, they go in this way and that way, and then
every single way. Yeah.
God, you guys are too on the nose with that. Scaring me a little bit.
He said the painting was like how ducks really are. They go this way and that, yeah. And this way and that way. Anyway, congratulations to Sarah Beth. She won the wild card competition, and then she was tempted. Sarah Beth, you will get safety, but you have to trade places with somebody else, and they will not be safe. And Taryn, I know we went back to the revisited the Frenchie offer from the first night, but again, this wasn't really that great. I mean, I guess Frenchie would have taken it, but this wasn't a very tempting offer.
I almost wish that Frenchie had won, because I feel like, given not a lot of time to think about it, his instinct would have been, no, I can't do that to my team.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't have taken it. But you're right. I mean, unless you are in imminent danger,
yes.
There's not a lot of reason to take this, especially if you're Sarah Beth and you're in no danger. There's no reason for Sarah Beth to go on to the Queen's team, because she's already safe with all of those people. None of them would ever put her up on the block, at least not in the immediate future while the teams will still be in play. And granted, she has made bonds with her team and they probably wouldn't put her up either. But there are, you know, theoretically some people on that team who are more likely to put her up than her closer allies on the Queen's team. And in addition to that, because she's made those bonds with the Kings, there's no reason to upset anybody by making an unnecessary move and showing like, oh, I'm abandoning my team, or I'm like, I'm taking you away from your team. She absolutely makes the right call here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do think that the only thing that came out of this, I think it kind of is like a prize for her, because she gets to stand up in front of the whole house and say, no, I'm not gonna. It's kind of like a declaration of, I trust this HOH and I trust the people that I'm currently working with enough. So if that doesn't confirm it for those people, then this definitely did. So I think that that's kind of a prize in and of itself.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, also though, if she switch over, that's going to be worse for her next week, because then only two people are playing for the HOH. And like, don't put yourself down in numbers like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Where, yeah, I mean, not only is Kylan unable to compete, but they're also already down in numbers. So it would literally just be her and whoever she didn't replace competing in the next one. She's much less likely to be safe next week versus the four people in the Kings, as long as one of them doesn't go home this week.
All right. So we go back to Kylan and Tiffany. Tiffany tells us she really wants to get Frenchie on the block. She talks about the three-headed monster, which is Frenchie and Brent and Whitney. But Taryn, I feel like that this conversation, from what I understand, that I feel like that Tiffany wasn't necessarily pushing for Frenchie here to go up when she talked to Kylan.
Yes. Now, this is where, you know, I thought the episode was very fun up until the wild card, where it started to get a little stale. This was just very rushed. And it's really unfortunate, because there was a lot of really, really good stuff that happened on the feeds that they really just like condensed and had to just breeze right past. And I'm not even sure it really works to pull it into the next episode. So I'm not sure how much of it we'll get in the Wednesday episode. But this was definitely not exactly what this conversation was. Mm-hmm. Tiffany was pushing primarily for Brent to be targeted over Frenchie.
Yes.
And she was pushing pretty hard for that. She was blaming Brent and Whitney for the rogue votes. You know, ultimately she doesn't end up succeeding in that goal. But that's when I say she didn't succeed in what she was doing there, like, she also was trying to get Frenchie on the block, as she wanted one of them. She was trying to pull Brent over Frenchie, but getting Frenchie was still a win. And she's also getting a lot of other things accomplished. And so I'm not going to fault the edit too much here, because again, without enough time to properly explain the nuances of what she was doing. They got the spirit of it right, mm-hmm. where like, yes, she is having a lot of influence over Kyland in this week. He said as much. He said that, you know, she's the one that put these ideas into his head. She's building her own kind of army that they didn't have time to get to quite yet. So what they're showing is that Tiffany is having a lot of influence and succeeding in what she wants to do, even though they had to misrepresent this conversation in order to make it seem like that without having to go into even more detail, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it was a little bit confused. That whole thing was a little bit confusing to me attached to the DRs, because she was saying in the DRs, well, I'm trying to lean him towards Frenchie. But I remember watching this moment on the feed and I'm thinking, okay, well, I feel like she's deflecting to benefit Frenchie. She's saying, well, you got to target Brett and Winnie, throw those two up there. And at first I'm thinking, okay, is she trying to say, no, you should not put him up there and maybe we can backdoor him later. It was just like a really confusing moment. And those DRs didn't help because it just made it more confusing for me. But granted, I'm a person who's keeping up with live feed updates and, you know, watching feeds when I can. But for a casual fan who's just watching the episodes, it's pretty freaking confusing. So,
yeah,
I think it's a situation where Tiffany really wanted Brent. That is best case scenario for her. But Frenchie's also an acceptable outcome and it's still a win in her books. And I think she might have been able to read kind of like, she was really like pushing back like gently against the Brent thing. And I think she might be able to read him like, this might not be acceptable, but I know at least one of my targets is a good chance of them being put up on the block.
Yeah. And go ahead.
Sorry, I think again, like if they do... If you have to be careful about how you portray this conversation, because like it would be confusing if they portrayed this conversation that like she was pushing primarily like, oh, it's got to be Brent, shouldn't be Frenchie, because Frenchie was, like I said, a very acceptable, a very good option for her as well, and she was very pleased with the results. So it wouldn't have seemed like as much of a success as it actually was had they portrayed this conversation in a way that was, you know, potentially more confusing without, again, all that context.
So in the real time, Kylan's taking all of these meetings with everybody. It was kind of fun that we got to see everybody cycling through with the quick cuts. Everybody really talking trash about Frenchie, throwing him under the bus, even Brent and Whitney. But when we get to Brittany, we stop down and Taryn, they make it seem like that Kyland really took a lot of offense to Brittany, that she threw out the duos in the house as being the people to go after. And Kyland seemed annoyed, seemed like she's not giving me any useful information.
Yeah, I'm really starting to take fault with how they're editing these. You know, they did the same thing with Derek X last week, where like they had to give you something to make, oh, this is what Derek X did wrong, and that's why he's on the block. And so they're trying to give us the same thing here, or could have gone on the block, trying to give us the same thing here with Brittany. Brittany was going to go up on the block anyway from the second Kylan won HOH, because she's the only one he's not aligned with. And so instead of trying to explain that, they're like, oh, well, here's a conversation that was awkward and maybe there was a problem here that we can point to, that is, this is an easily digestible reason, which again, I get for the sake of condensing the story. But in this case, instead of them doing it in order to give somebody proper credit, they're doing it in spite of the fact that it sort of unfairly you know, maligns a player's ability. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well,
you can go.
Okay. Another thing that confused me was, I know on the feeds, another reason that besides just he's not aligned with her and that's why he put her up, another reason that he was personally giving was that she was the only person who didn't say Frenchie's name. So I think they could have easily worked that storyline in there. I'm pretty sure he said that more than a few times. So because they have that little segment of everybody saying, you know, oh, Frenchie, and then cut. Oh, well, you know, Frenchie did this, you know, Frenchie's a loose cannon. So it's like, Brittany's not saying that. So they could have easily worked that storyline in. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but even that was just an excuse that, and he admitted basically to Brittany that it was just an excuse and that she would have gone up on the block anyway, right? So yeah. It's just easier, I think, for them. Like, oh, this is what they did wrong. That's why they're on the block.
Hey, Brittany, next time you get invited to a meeting, bring some good info.
Sorry. Wow.
Yeah, well... Next time.
Sorry. Wow.
She wasn't happy when she went on the block. She's mad. All right. We got to the nominations. Frenchie. You know, the only people that have our best interests are our teams. That's what Kylan said. Frenchie got off easy, I think, in the nomination speech.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brittany, you take down your teammate. And that was basically a pretty undramatic nomination speech from Kylan. But Frenchie was not thrilled.
Oh my God, I'm on the block. Let me tell you something real quick. I ain't never quit nothing in my life.
Very interesting. When I heard that, I was like, okay, well, I won't spoil anything, but
my God, I'm
like, who said anything about quitting?
Yeah.
Like, why do you, oh my God, I'm on the block, but I ain't quitting. I never quit.
I never, in my life.
Like, what? Was that your first? Why is that your first thought? Why are you already telling me you're not quitting? I didn't say anything about quitting, Frenchie.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Frenchie was on another one.
It's not quitting nothing.
No.
Oh my God, I'm on the block. Let me tell you something real quick. I ain't never quit nothing in my life.
Oh my God.
He doesn't sound like that. Oh my God. I swear.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else about Sunday night, Big Brother?
We're good.
All right, should we take some questions?
I would like to say real quick, Tiffany is a queen. She is a goddess. She is everything in my life.
Yeah. Well, the Tiffany thing has been nice to see her get such a big part of the edit here in the episode. And, you know, you'd love to see, like, how far can she run with this and see where it goes. That I feel like that we have the potentials to potentially have, like, a real, like, Big Brother mastermind to watch this season. So it's early. It's only, what, day 11? Day 12? So we'll see.
Especially considering, though, that she is a quote-unquote older Black woman. Like, we don't really see, mm-hmm. like, Black women, like, be in this position where they're the driving force in the season. So this is, like, very exciting to see someone that looks like not the normal quote-unquote mastermind actually, like, run things. And, mm-hmm. like, we genuinely do, like, if she makes it far enough, have a great on our hands, a legend on our hands.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to
watching it unfold live. Like, that's so the best part.
she's a star. And I'm very happy that they have recognized it so early. Whether or not, you know, she goes far in this game, I think that there's a spark there. There's something, she's got that sort of secret sauce. Yeah, that it just works.
That's a great point, Taryn, because it's like, I think that the live feeders were on top of this, but then to sort of just like get the confirmation tonight from the show, like, oh, the show gets it and she's great in the diary room and she can like be the narrator of the show, like it was nice to like get it all to come together in the episode. And, you know, as I was saying earlier, I just wonder, like, if Frenchie is gone from the house, like that these are like really savvy players, is she going to be able to be undetected for the whole rest of the way?
We'll see.
That'll be the storyline moving forward. All right, Scott, let's take some of those questions as we go along here, and then we'll get to some live feed updates. Yes, the questions. Yes, how about them? Emily, is keeping someone in the house because they are a bigger target than you a good reason to keep them? Well, I think that can be yes or no.
It's no when, like, if that's the common excuse, like, that everyone can use, like, oh, this person's a bigger target than me. If everyone used that excuse, then he's like basically golden for a long time, and you gotta nip that in the bud real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Tiffany had a great response to this question on the feeds, which was, okay, sure, he's a shield for me, but he's a shield for everyone. And if he's a shield for everyone, then he's a shield for no one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's kind of just a lazy thing that everybody says. It's just kind of like a go-to. So it's lost effectiveness throughout the years, in my opinion. So I don't think that it's good enough.
Okay. This is a question from Lauren. Frenchie is unhinged, but Kylan, trying to not say too much, didn't calm Frenchie down at all. Is his communication style going to hurt Kylan long term? Well, I think that that's tough to judge Kylan's communication style off of how Frenchie reacted to him.
Like, he didn't do great in that conversation, but like Frenchie's reaction was overboard. Like, his reaction did not equate to what he was given.
Yeah. Well, Taryn, let me ask you the question this way. You know, we saw Kylan over the weekend keep his cards so close to the vest. Do you think that long term, like he needs to giving out a little more information, the same way that he was mad at Brittany for not giving any useful info to him?
Sorry. Wow.
does he need to be more forthcoming, do you think?
Yes, I do think so. In terms of his communication style, I think it's fine. I think that he has a unique one. It's something that he's talked about.
Yes.
And I think that he's perfectly capable of functioning very well in the game with that communication style. However, I do think that he needs to be more giving in terms of the active choice he's making to withhold information. And in fact, when he's having these one-on-ones that we saw a montage of, he is actively telling people, I'm not going to tell you anything. And if he does accidentally tell them something, he is chastising himself for it because he really does not want to. Now, I think that actually had a bit of a side effect of when he's chastising, I shouldn't have said something. It actually made the person he was talking to happy because they're like, oh, you feel so comfortable around me. You actually did give me something. But that tells you that they want things from Kylan. And I think it's fine right now when he's in power because you're not looking for, you're looking for reasons to like Kylan and for him to like you. But I think last week, it was one of the reasons why he was having trouble connecting with many of the people in his alliance because he wasn't as forthcoming with things as many of the others were. And he wasn't as open about things, which again, you go into the Big Brother house, you don't want to be too open. You don't want to be Frenchy, but you need to make people feel like you trust
them. Give
them
a crumb.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Kylan isn't always great at that. But he has so many other things going for him socially that I'm not sure it will, I still think it's a net positive overall.
Okay.
My hope for that is that he takes this HOH reign as a learning experience and he takes it with him for the rest of the game, where he sees people reacting to him, as Taryn was saying, when they were getting information from him, even when it wasn't deliberate on his part and he was kind of like hitting himself in the head. Why did I say that? They were happy. I'm hoping that he takes those reactions and he realizes that maybe I should be slightly a little bit more open. But because obviously if he's doing that for the rest of the game, it could come off a little bit off-putting to people. So I'm hoping that he got HOH at the right time and he had this experience. He could take it with him.
Okay. Jennifer says, should the players be concerned with holding on to their team members as they seem to be? Are the teams, should the players be concerned about being too loyal to the teams right now?
I don't think they should be too concerned. I think that what you should care about is the people that you can work with, the people that you get along with, the people in your alliances. Your team is beneficial to you in the short term in the sense that if they win, you're safe. But that twist is only going to last for so long, probably only two more weeks. And the rest of the game is going to happen for the rest of the game. And so you shouldn't be trying to keep people on your team that you can't work with long term or at least are less likely to work with long term if it means that you're giving up somebody else that you could theoretically work with long term because the team thing is too temporary.
Okay.
Yeah.
That being said, let's talk about our live feed spoilers for today. If you're bouncing out now and just only are following the TV show, we got another recap for you Wednesday night and Thursday night coming up this week. But in the meantime, let's check in with the weekend on the Big Brother live feed spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay, I found the taboo buzzer this weekend. That was a big, big thrill. Okay. All right. So, Taryn, it's not looking great for Mr. French, right?
Not looking great. The veto was played, and our newly crowned veto prince, Derek X, decided to go ahead and win that one. So Frenchie should, as long as nothing changes in the next, you know, probably 18 hours or so, and nothing looks to change in that time, Frenchie should remain on the block and likely will go home, joining the ranks of Willie Hance and Cody Nixon, you know, as first HOHs that that go out the following week. So, yeah.
It's been a while. I mean, I was thinking, who was the last person to win in the first week and then go out? I think it's really, it wasn't that long ago, but I think that the culture.
It's a classic,
of
winning
the first HOH.
Yes.
The first HOH was you can go on to win. Like we saw last year, Cody won the first one and then went on to win. So it's really telling of this could be like, maybe I'm being too hopeful, but like a new era, like a how it used to be kind of thing. But I don't know. Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
Yeah. It's definitely a throwback to have just the total like dumpster fire HOH in week one. So we'll always appreciate Frenchie for that.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't necessarily say new era as much as Frenchie, but. But it's definitely it's interesting. And honestly, even like I don't think any other HOH this week would have been as much of a slam dunk for Frenchie to go. I think that there were a lot of other outs that Frenchie had to survive at least another couple of weeks. But the one person that, or one of the few people that he did put on the block, actually ends up winning and has a great excuse to put him up. And that of course is going to cause him to spiral and just like that.
Yeah.
We almost got Brent. So.
Yep. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Tara, could you give us an update on what is the state of Frenchie at this hour?
So Frenchie is just continuing to spiral. He has outed the slaughterhouse. He has been giving advice to the few people that will still listen to him. He's been commiserating a lot with Big D, who is basically his only friend left in the game. And Big D is very mad about the situation. He is trying to make amends to people like Whitney. Not really having it. Whitney is not really having it. And so he is threatening to self-evict. Luckily he's never quit anything in his life. So that was probably just a ploy.
Oh my God, I'm on the block. Let me tell you something real quick.
Okay.
I ain't never quit nothing in my life.
Up until.
Yeah.
Hey, similar to getting out a meathead in week one, the methods may be mysterious, but the end result is always the same. He did get a meathead out and he is still not quit the game. So,
yeah.
The Frenchie works in mysterious ways.
Hey, do we think that there is a chance he would quit before Thursday, Taryn?
No.
Loves it too much.
I think it's a tension thing, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think he's too big of a fan. And also, people want to quit. Production don't let him walk out. Like,
yeah.
We saw Sam.
Yeah, if Audrey didn't quit, if Sam didn't quit, Frenchie's not going to quit.
Yeah. No, I do think by Thursday, like these people that want out tend to come around and then he will like walk out and celebrate his time in the Big Brother house.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Okay,
we'll
so...
Twitter.
All right, so Frenchie is sort of a dead man walking. But what else is going on if nobody's worried about Frenchie?
So the thing that Tiffany is really doing here, apart from trying to influence the nominations, is that she's trying to build a new structure in the house. And that consists of, and she tries to make it simple, it's the kings and the queens. plus Derek X, kings, queens, and one ace. Those people, of course, are the queens, which is Kylan, herself, and Claire, along with the kings, who are Christian, Alyssa, Sarah Beth, and Xavier. And then adding Derek X to the mix as well, that makes eight. And that is her goal. So obviously she's got Claire. Claire is like her number one in the game. She's worked on Derek X. I think one of the best ways to tell who is like a very good player in the game early on is when somebody is an early person on the outs, who is the person that still talks to them and picks them up and uses them? And that person has been Tiffany with Derek X, and she is now trying to pull him into this group. Another great person to have in there with her, for her. Kylan is in there, of course, that she has connected with the cookout. She's been working with him all week. And then she's got Xavier in there. She has been working on Christian quite a bit as well. And she also has Sarah Beth within the Jackpot Alliance. So she is set up very well in that group, and she is trying to build it. And that's what I mean when I say that she is using Kylan's power to sort of like do her own thing. And because usually you see the HOH builds an alliance, you know, that benefits them very the most. Tiffany is trying to build this with Kylan's power, and using Kylan to do it. Kylan, in the meantime, is happy with that group, also trying to keep the Slaughterhouse intact at the same time so that he can remain well positioned in the middle. This is not a game of one person running the show. This is a game of a lot of different individuals who are all playing hard and all want their own things. And so that's what's making it interesting. And that's all happening, but it's happening very slowly because, you know, there's not a pressing need for these things to move quickly right now as we slowly sort of walk toward the end of Frenchie's game, the eulogy for Frenchie's game, we might say.
Yeah, so it started with it's going to be the eulogy to Dan's funeral, and now here we are exactly. 12 days later for the eulogy for Frenchie.
I would like to, I think that we should make a wager. This is a season about gambling,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I think the wager should be, obviously Frenchie is going to have some kind of like eviction speech.
Yeah.
But outside of the eviction speech, after the votes are read and Frenchie has been evicted, how long is his speech probably in front of the door to the rest of the house guests? And does Julie need to tell him to leave before he stops giving the speech? I think those are the two main questions here. And I think we need to make our bets.
Let's do it.
Okay.
After he's evicted by a vote of 12-0, Frenchie, you think they're going to have to pull him out with a hook?
I think he's going to. Okay, and then he's gonna give hugs, and he's gonna have something to say to each individual person, and he's gonna stand in front of the door, and he's gonna be like, you know, I came into this house, and he's gonna like probably try and drop some bombs, and he's probably gonna be like, you know, and you know, it's unfortunate, this poor children in the hospital aren't gonna get my donation, but it's okay, you guys are good people.
No, Taryn, he's gonna be like, I am an ally, I want all to see all the women and people of color to see, I did what I came here to. Dude, yeah. I got a white jock meathead out of here, and now another white.
I'm so happy that I can step aside and amplify your voice.
Yes,
right,
I'll step aside. I'm stepping aside so somebody can win, because I would have won so easily if I really wanted to.
I honestly think it's going to take as long. Like, you know, when you guys were younger and your parents were like, "All right, we're leaving at some kind of function with like a family thing," and then they're all saying goodbye for like 50 hours. It's going to take as long as that. That was my first thought.
Yes, I agree.
Second Frenchie wager. How many hours does he last on Twitter before he deactivates his account when he gets out of the house?
Oh, zero.
0 hours.
I looked at his account recently and it said suspended. I don't know if that was his real account. But I think that whoever was handling that account is going to say, I deleted it. You're good. Make a new one.
I think he is going to, when he is out, I think he is going to be very active on social media. And I wonder just how long that he can hold up against just like, you know, Twitter's undefeated.
Yeah. Depends how you look at it.
Nobody's ever gone out there and beat Twitter.
I think the biggest question for me is when he gets out, is he, I guess I would say, savvy enough to know that the play will be, I was such a joke. Like, I think he has a certain storyline in his head right now, but Twitter is all powerful. And he, I think, has respected that power in the past. And I think if Twitter is giving him a narrative about his own game, he may accept that narrative and try to lean into it and be like, this is my new thing. And it's, again, it's not going to be the base layer. Yeah. That never exists. But it's going to be the new narrative, I think.
It's a good point, Aaron. You've been very keen to observe, like, Frenchie always says what he thinks you want to hear. Exactly. So if he can perceive that, okay, Twitter wants you to say, like, was that crazy or what? Was that great? Oh, my God. Did I give him a show or what? Like, I don't know what I was doing in there. Like, oh, Frenchie, you're the best. That is what he will, like, give out. So
yeah, and as I think Chappelle tweeted out, you know, there'll probably be a Notes app apology at some point, mm-hmm. Talking about how he has the best of intentions, and you know, it'll be interesting.
Okay.
See, this is what confuses me about this man, though, is that he knows that he's very in tune with how people on Twitter are and how they think, and so. Maybe he won't put out a Notes app apology because they know that people make fun of it.
Yeah.
So it's like, is he going to open Microsoft Word or like open up a Photoshop thing and be like, let me put some colors on here? I don't know.
I don't think he's a big apologizer. If anything, like he'll, like, it'll look like an apology, but it won't be an apology.
Trust me, Frenchie is going to gaslight Twitter till it's burnt down.
That's the word.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else about the BB23 for tonight?
Okay. I'm loving the season. Yeah. This is so fun.
Been very fun so far. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast. We'll start off Monday. It's time for the slop. We got some fun stuff planned. Kirsten McInnes is going to join us. We'll talk about all the nonsense. Got some live feed clips that we want to play for you. Any of the Big Brother alumni drama. We get into that all on the slop in our patron podcast feed. You get that at robiswebsite.com/patron. Of course, tomorrow morning, Taryn's going to be back with It's Another Maggie Monday.
There you go.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
What's going on the feeds? Usually, the best stuff hasn't even happened yet with this season, right?
Very much so. We'll see what Frenchie has up his sleeve next.
Yeah. Are we expecting a last push for renominations or anything like that? I know last Sunday night was when he was like talking to Derek X until all hours of the night.
Yeah, I don't quite expect Kyland to be following Derek X into bed saying, you need to use it on Frenchie. You'll be a legend. So, yeah, we'll probably have something a little bit quieter.
No, he's going to be like, you need to use it on Brittany. Mm-hmm.
So I can get Brent up there. Two big guys.
All right. Tuesday night, it's going to be the return of the BB Roundtable. Should be a fun one this week that while Melissa is away, we've got two great panelists joining Taryn Tuesday night. Asia and Chantel will join Taryn for the BB Roundtable. And we'll see. What was Frenchie's dollar value last week?
I think it was something like a two or three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
all those wise guys that thought like, all right, I'm going to buy Frenchie low to double down. We'll see how that goes.
They tried to gamble and gambled. That was not the right one.
Yeah. I put all my money into Frenchie.
Sorry. Wow.
Okay, then Wednesday night should be very fun when Maggie Morgan is going to be back with us on Wednesday. Matt Lagori and Jason Reed coming up on Wednesday night when we are back after the episode for the next live show. We'll see how the veto played out on Wednesday. Last week talked about millennials versus Gen X. Had a fun time with Kirsten and Asia. The 12th best season of Survivor. By the way, we have a lot of great millennials versus Gen X podcasts coming your way, including Talking with T-Bird with Michaela Bradshaw. That's a very fun interview. I think you're going to enjoy that one. Check that out. Plus also Why Adam Won with David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis, including Adam Klein. Join them for a 3-hour recap of Why Adam Won the Game. That's up in our reality TV wrap-ups feed. But I guess we're going to talk about the 11th best season of Survivor. It's going to be Survivor Philippines. Too low, 11th place. Brian Cohen and Ari Ferrari will join me on Tuesday night. We talk about the 11th best season of Survivor Philippines. Of course, we will have our patron feedback show. Taryn and I did the BBQ&A on Friday afternoon, where we take questions from the patrons. That's up in our patron podcast feed as well. Patron 5 for $5, plus access to our patron Facebook group, Discord, and more, all at robiswebsite.com/patron. Of course, get the offers from any of our sponsors at robiswebsite.com/offers. You could subscribe to our channel on YouTube and the podcast as well, wherever you get your podcasts, and then follow us on social media at Rob's Podcast on Twitter or at RHAP Grams on Instagram. Thank you so much, Scott. Okay. All right. We had a lot of fun tonight. AJ, what's coming up for you?
Nothing much. Just watching some reality TV, living my best life.
Still doing a lot of Clubhouse?
Not as much.
Yeah.
Like you can find me on there, but you won't find me often.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, I am going to be on the next episode of the Brazilian Dragon podcast.
Yes.
With Rob's biggest fan, Felipe, yes, and Akiva's biggest fan, Jacob. And we're going to talk about Scooby-Doo.
Yes. Okay. Looking forward to that. AJ, good to have you back with us.
I love being here. It's a fun time talking with y'all. Y'all are a hoot and a half.
Thank you. Lavina, you made it through the heat?
Yeah. I was telling the guys that I was probably going to be very shiny by the end of this. I'm like too bad, a little shiny, but I'm just like normally shiny. So pretty good.
Pokemon shiny or?
Like oil shiny.
Mm-hmm. Lavina, what are you up to these days?
You know, just working full time, and that's what kept me away from the Big Brother Canada 9 coverage, and I'm so disappointed because that was such a great season.
A banger. You missed it.
Yeah, I was keeping up. I was in the chat. I was keeping up with the podcast, you know, in the car and stuff, but you know, I'm here for this season, and I'm super excited that we have such a great one, so hopefully it continues.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Lavina, nice to have you here with us. And then Taryn, what's coming up for you?
Well, I'm enjoying the perfect weather here in San Diego, I moved across the country and I've been without my stuff forever. I'm gonna just brag about the weather for the rest of my life, I think. Yes, you can of course find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I should be getting a desk tomorrow.
Yeah,
so that'll be good.
By the way, Taryn, we've been able to make contact with the person that has your stuff. They have a message for you.
Sorry. Oh. Wow.
I love how
that's your favorite clip of the night.
the emotion. Yeah. So I really enjoy it. Like, sorry. Wow.
Yeah.
Great.
Yes, find me on Twitch. Find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. I'll be live tomorrow morning. And then, yes, roundtable on Tuesday. What a great season. Enjoy it while it lasts. Make sure you don't miss any of these podcasts.
All right. This was a really fun night. Looking forward to being back, talking some more Big Brother on Monday with the slop. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.